Good morning and welcome. You are tuned into 2SER 107.3. My name is Andrew Popel. You are listening to Final Draft. 10 a.m. every Saturday morning, I bring you books, writing and literary culture, the greatest from Australia and around the world. And I'm taking a little bit of a break this week, and it's an opportunity for us to listen back to some really fantastic interviews that I've had this year on Final Draft. Now, earlier in the year is one of my highlights, the announcement of the Stella Prize, a prize for amazing women writers of the previous year. And this year, the prize was won by Alexis Wright for her collective biography of Tracker Tilmouth. The book was called Tracker. And Alexis was very generous with her time coming into the studio, and we had a wide-ranging interview about the book, about writing it, and about the importance of celebrating and recognising Aboriginal culture. So I didn't get to play the whole interview for you at the time, so this is a great opportunity to listen back to our full conversation. So today on the show, it is Alexis Wright discussing her Stella Prize-winning book, Tracker, and it's coming up after this short break.
2SER wishes to acknowledge the custodians of the land from which we broadcast, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation and the Wadumatagal clan of the Darug Nation, and their elders past, present and emerging. We acknowledge and respect their continuing culture and the contribution they make to the life of this city and this region.
You are tuned in to 2SER 107.3 and you're listening to Final Draft. My name is Andrew Popel. Now, it is almost a part of Australian literary mythology that in 2011, a panel of women publishers, editors and writers banded together to address the obvious sexism and gender bias that existed on prize lists and in media representation of Australian writing. From that meeting emerged the Stella Prize, celebrating the best in Australian women's writing from the previous year. Now, in its sixth year, the Stella Prize is a powerful barometer of Australian writing and an exciting event on our literary calendar. Announced on Thursday, the winner of the 2018 Stella Prize for her collective memoir, Tracker, is Alexis Wright. And I am very fortunate to have Alexis joining me in the studio today. Welcome, Alexis. Welcome to 2SER.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you for having me here.
It's
lovely.
It's so exciting to be talking about this book and and with your body of work. This is just such a lovely moment for me. But it's not about me.
No, well.
it's about your book, Tracker. And I thought we could start with the man himself. Can you tell me a little bit about who Tracker Tilmouth was?
Tracker Tilmouth was an Eastern Islander man from Central Australia. He was also a member of the Stolen Generation. He was taken away from Central Australia from his family after his mother passed away. He was taken from his father, Tracker, and his two younger brothers. Tracker was four at the time, and William was three. And the younger brother, who's passed away now, he was only about one. And they were taken 1,000 kilometres away by authorities to separate the children from their families. So the idea was to send children from Central Australia to the top end of the Northern Territory, and children from the top end of the Northern Territory to Central Australia, to really make that huge separation by distance from their families, so their families wouldn't have any influence over the upbringing of the children. And Tracker and his two brothers, they were sent to the notoriously bad Rita Dixon home in Darwin first for about a year, and then to Croker Island. And they spent all their childhood on Croker Island, growing up there in the mission. And so Tracker came back to Central Australia and found his way back into, you know, through the help of a lot of older people, family and people of high culture, found his way back into his own world and his own place in Central Australia. He became a very, you know, became a remarkable man, a visionary on how to develop economic futures for Aboriginal people in Australia, particularly in the top end in the Northern Territory, on building what his mission was to how do you create the enjoyment of land rights. So after a lot of the land rights battles that took place in the Northern Territory, some of those land right claims went for over 20 years of constant legal battles, through right up to the High Court on several occasions sometimes, and to get the land, traditional land back. And and most of those claims were successful, and so people got their traditional land back. But then what was the question afterwards? And that was seemed to be what everyone had forgotten. How do you make the enjoyment of land rights? And that was what Track was on about. Yeah, how do you build an Aboriginal economy so that people could live on their land and be able to have a future for our children and a future for our culture, which is a really long and important culture. It's the oldest surviving culture in the world. We've been able to survive and safeguard that culture, through the millennia and until, what we've been confronted with in recent, in contemporary times. And we need to be able to create the economies and to safeguard our culture in the future. And it's our... And as Tracker thought too, it's our right, it's our property right to be able to do that. Otherwise, we're always going to be dependent on other people, and always be the that bad narrative, that controls what people think about Aboriginal people. Very negative narrative that we see in the country, and part of that is because we haven't been able to build the economies that we need to survive, and governments are not looking at it in the way that it should be, and in the way that Tracker was, and visualising and thinking about and developing on how to build that. Vision splendid, because a lot of people can't think outside the box, and particularly bureaucrats who are in charge of government programs and politicians who come in on a short-term basis, who they're not visionaries themselves. They don't understand what's really required. So it's what their requirement is how they get back into government in 3 or 4 years' time. It's not the planning that's required to rebuild an Aboriginal economy based on where we're at today. But Track was also using the principles of a traditional culture, because the culture had an economy. It wasn't just a lot of people think which is based on people just live without nothing. People did have an economy to be able to survive. So he was thinking of those sort of principles and how to develop it into a modern Aboriginal economy that would ensure our survival in a place like Australia today.
You've beautifully encompassed a vast story, a vast legacy there, and there are so many points that I want to take up. But I wanted to sort of think about the way you've told this story. Your introduction to Tracker, you begin with a question: how to tell an impossible story, one almost too big to fit in a book. Mm-hmm. In your stellar acceptance speech, you acknowledge that any book is nothing less than a monumental achievement. So the telling of Tracker's story is a collective effort of bringing together voices. Can you tell me about this way of telling a story, of telling a life, and what it brought to your telling of Tracker's life?
Yeah. When I finished the Swan book, which was my last novel, some years ago, then I started my publisher, Ivor Indick, from Giramondo Publishing. He spoke to me, about what I we were talking about, what I'll be doing next, and He said he reminded me that I always wanted to do some writing with Tracker, or Tracker really wanted me to do some writing with him over the years. You know, and usually it was all about how to, he wanted me to respond for on his behalf, or you know, under his name, write a, you know, a feature article or something for some journalist.
Kind of ghostwriting type.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. and he'd want it instantly and urgently, so you'd have to drop everything, and lots of times I didn't really know how to respond, because Tracker wouldn't stay around long enough to, you know, sit with you and say, this is what I want to say, in this article.
It strikes me he had a very unique voice too that you would have to capture.
You'd have to capture that, that really unique voice, and usually it was all about some stupid thing, some stupidity of the federal government or the Northern Territory government, or some silly thing that someone had said, and publicly, and the newspapers or something. He wanted to respond to some lot of those things, but Tracker wasn't a person who sat around and did writing himself. He was the sort of person who walked the talk. He thought a lot, and he went all over the country, talking to people. People wanted him to help with all sorts of issues that they were involved with, and big issues on trying to develop land use agreements and so forth, really complex things, and having trouble because he didn't have good negotiators, and Tracker was a good negotiator with industry or government, or and he knew how to open doors, and we were talking about, what's the question?
The way you've told Tracker's story.
Yes, the way
I've
told it. Well, that's right. Well, when I sat down to think about how to write this book, and I didn't really know at the start. I knew it couldn't be a conventional Western-style biography. I thought nobody would really thank me for it, particularly our own people. They would have said that was probably the wrong thing to do for someone like Tracker. And he was just such a huge figure in our world, and really hard to pin down. And a lot of people said, he was too much, he was too far, he was too out there, and he was extraordinary, or, he could be, you told, a friend, he could be a chameleon, he could be whatever you wanted him to be, and or he could be a virus, and spread everywhere, and you couldn't stop him. And so I knew I couldn't do a biography, and I couldn't retrace his footsteps all over the country, and to every small community or some little outpost where some policeman was stationed, Tracker would just call in and say, "Where's your fishing nets, Joe?" or whatever. "I want to use your fishing nets down the river, and while I'm passing through here." And Tracker just knew all sorts of people. He made himself known. So I knew I couldn't do that sort of biography, and it didn't seem right. And for the sort of person he was, and we live through very complex times as well, and it's very hard to define some of the things that are going on in our world, and I thought about a number of things that come from our world, and how we. In the traditional sense, how we keep stories and practice stories and how we have a responsibility for stories, where in traditional ways, the storyline, a song line would go across country, and there's different people along the way, have different parts, different responsibilities, and for the story, and to safeguard the story and keep the story alive and going, So it's it's many voices telling a big story, and all through my life, through family meetings or big community meetings that we have, it's always been telling the story or the correct story through or finding what the story should be. through consensus, where everybody has a chance to say what they want to say. You know, whether it's a good story or a bad story, and sometimes we don't really know what the consensus is until you realise that some days later, that's the consensus. You know, that's the story, and I thought I should try to bring that sort of idea to the book, that it should be a book of everybody having a chance to tell their part in the story, and that's what Tracker wanted as well. He said to me at the start, "Righty, I just want to bookend this book and let everybody else tell their part in the story. Let them say whatever they like." And he actually told a lot of people to be honest and tell the truth, and don't hold back. And like, he'd never hold back. So that was the way I approached the book. And also with Tracker, he didn't like. He wasn't the sort of person to sit around gloating about all the things that he ever did in his life, and he did. You know, he achieved a lot of things in his life, and a lot of things happened in his life, and it was much better to have some of the other people tell those stories who could tell those stories about what happened and their part in the story as well, The good thing about this book is all the contributors, you know, who Tracker agreed to, who I should speak to, they're all really important people, you know, all really remarkable, fantastic people. And Tracker did gather around him a lot of really, you know, really smart people. And because he had jobs for everybody, you know, if he thought that you could do something for what he thought should be done, he'd want you to do it, and he would. That's what you should do. If you know, I want you to raise $5 million for this, you know, project I want to get off the ground in some community, and he thinks that you could raise the $5 million quite easily. That would be your job, so he was very good at planting in, you know, what I call his archives, because he didn't write down a lot of things. Yeah. His archives were in the minds of other people, and all these very smart people that he gathered around him. So that was really good, and that what comes out in the book as well is there's all these really remarkable contributors.
You are on 2SER 107.3. You're listening to Final Draft. I am Andrew Popel, and this is an encore performance of my conversation with Alexis Wright. Alexis is one of Australia's greatest living authors, and her work, her biography of Tracker Tilmouth, called Tracker, took out the 2018 Stella Prize earlier this year. We're revisiting that conversation and really getting in depth on who Tracker was and what his legacy means for Aboriginal Australians, but also for all Australians. Now, we're going to take a track right now. We've got something of one of our recent feature albums. This is Parquet Courts channeling their best talking heads. This is Wide Awake.
I'm not so woke, 'cause my radio shop is a blade. Listen to 2SER wherever you are.
We're now just a touch away.
Download the new improved 2SER app from your favourite app store.
The 2SER app is available for Androids too.
And it's free.
The new improved 2SER app. Stories, ideas, music.
Wherever you are.
You are tuned in to 2SER 107.3. That was Parquet Courts with Wide Awake, former feature album, and just a really good song to wake up to. My name is Andrew Popel. This is Final Draft, and we are taking an encore performance of my conversation with Alexis Wright, 2018 Stella Prize-winning author Alexis Wright, discussing her biography of Tracker Tilmouth. It is called Tracker. It strikes me as you talk about stories and storytelling, it sounds very dynamic. The verbs you use are very dynamic. It's not a it's not a book that you put on a shelf. It's an ongoing process. And I wonder, does a different type of storytelling require a different type of listening? What should the reader bring to a reading of Tracker?
Well, I'm not too sure. I at the launch in Darwin that we had. We had a big launch in Darwin in early March, what I thought people should bring to Tracker is a yellow marking pen and mark all the important parts in it and take up his stories, take up his ideas, and make the stories their own and build the vision splendid. You know, that's what he wanted.
Can I do that then? Because there's so much to discuss. I mean, for people listening who have not seen this book, where it's enormous. There's 600 odd pages, and so it's hard to pick just one thing. But the vision splendid intrigued me. A vision of an Aboriginal economy that would allow economic development aligned with cultural practices, and this idea that negotiating treaty involves both parties to bring something to the table. That's what I really got. The Tracker felt like you can't go to the table empty-handed to negotiate. So what is that legacy? How can that be built on?
Well, it's just, it talks about this quite a bit in the book, about that you can't go to the table empty-handed, because people want to negotiate with you and they want to see what you got to you got to put on the table. And at the moment he thought, we've lost the plot, we don't know what we're doing, and we've got nothing to bring to the table. So be very careful about negotiating treaties if you got nothing to bring to the table. So that's what his idea was, that we needed to be building, economies, that we should be looking at our property rights, and that property right argument that has never been taken up in native title. And he thought it was a very easy thing to accomplish by going back to the High Court and getting them to reread Mabo and Wick and look at the property right issue that was left out, because we need to have our property rights.
And that's going to involve something else that you discuss about Tracker. In his legacy, you discuss his ability to take people outside their comfort zone. Do you feel that we're at a point in our cultural and political history as a country where people are moving outside their comfort zone, or are people just sort of coasting along? And I'm thinking particularly politicians and the broader will. So a huge part of that is the white population, when ideas have changed, when radical ideas, so Tracker's talking about a segregated economy that can allow development, are we willing to put ourselves outside our comfort zone to consider these and make them happen?
Not yet, I don't think. Perhaps if people do get the marking pen out and start looking and studying a book like this, it would help them to sort of take up, you know, what some of the things that he was thinking, and to think bigger and to really focus in, you know, on how to build that that vision splendid in a way that they never even thought possible, but it really requires big thinking and people being prepared to think big and not and be taken out of the comfort zone, and that idea of the status quo, and I'm not sure how to do that, but I think there's, you know, I think there's people around in this country, and there will be even more in the future, who are prepared to look at, you know, the work of a visionary like Tracker, and to make it big.
It may seem trite to say, but maybe it does begin one conversation at a time. And I mean, it's hard to overstate the importance of Tracker. As I read it, I realised we've got something that strikes as a memoir, but then as I read, we've got an economic and a philosophical treatise in here. There is so much. Such an important book. I want to ask you a little bit about winning the Stella Prize, though. So you won the Miles Franklin for Carpentaria. I've got Carpentaria sitting next to my copy of Tracker. That was in 2007. Now, in your stellar acceptance speech for Tracker, you paid tribute to the diversity of the shortlist, your fellow writers that you were standing with when the prize was announced. What change have you seen in literary prize shortlists, indeed in Australia's literary culture over those years?
Well, I have been looking at a lot of shortlists over the years, but I think the writing has become more diverse, and I think that's a really good thing. I think, you know, I've seen some really great writing from writers from, you know, different backgrounds, and I think it's great and really exciting, you know, to happen in Australia, because it makes us feel more mature as a nation, we are, a nation of many, many voices and many styles, many, you know, ways of thinking, cultures, and including our own important Aboriginal culture, which you know, is the most important, I think. But
that is hard to argue with. And look at the shortlist as well as Tracker. We had Claire G. Coleman's Terra Nullius, another fantastic work. So diverse, so wonderful. I love how open and generous you've been with your time chatting with me today. So I would encourage people, go out and find a copy of Tracker. You're going to see it everywhere. Trust me, from today. I am speaking with Alexis Wright. She is the 2018 winner of the Stella Prize for her collective memoir, Tracker. It's the story of Tracker Tilmouth. Alexis, thank you so much for coming in to 2SER and joining me today.
Thanks, Andrew.
Enjoy what you're hearing? Help us to keep it coming. Our station is supporter funded. We rely on your generosity to continue producing the independent stories, ideas, and music you love. You can support us at any time by heading online to 2ser.com/donate. Thanks for being a part of the 2SER community.
Think sustainability.
Practical actions for a better planet.
Movements, discoveries, and technologies for a sustainable future.
Sundays on 2SER 107.3.
Or you can catch the podcast. Subscribe to Think Sustainability now on your podcast app of choice.
You are on 2SER 107.3. You're listening to Final Draft, and today we have been taking an encore performance of my conversation with the 2018 Stella Prize winner, Alexis Wright. Alexis is one of the leading lights in Australian letters. She is such a fantastic writer. She is such a fantastic person. So I want to say a huge thank you to Alexis for coming into the studio and discussing her Stella Prize winning novel, Tracker. I will be having another break next week, and we will have more great content coming up. So stay tuned. Vulture's Nest is coming up, and next week there's more books on Final Draft. I'll see you then.
Thank you.